Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. They were assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
Hello, angels. This is Leo Laporte welcoming you to the next and last edition of The Return of the Yes, that's right, the last. Because we have a new name, and we're not going to call it that anymore, and I'm getting tired of bleeping out every time I say it, so it's not The Return of the anymore. Thank goodness. The new name will be revealed in due course. We do have a new name, and as a result, we'll have all new URLs, too. This podcast will no longer piggyback on my TLR podcast feed. It has a feed of its own, leoville.tv/podcasts/twit, T-W-I-T. There'll be a couple of different feeds. There's one of for MP3s, one for bookmarkable AACs for you iPod users, and an Ogg Vorbis for you open source types. And they'll be available both in Coral and BitTorrent forms. There's also a direct URL. All of this is fully explained at my blog, leoville.com/blog. So do, please, after you listen to this podcast, modify your podcast software to point to the new feeds. I want to make sure you all get next week's episode. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Norton, Kevin Rose, Robert Herron, and from beyond the grave, John C. Dvorak, in this, the last edition of The Return of the etc., etc. Okay, who is playing, who is doing slam dancing in the back? What's going on? Somebody's dancing or something. What is that sound?
I hear that tapping.
Are you hammering, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. What is this? My, the house that I'm leaving in the next month is, I don't know what my housemate is doing in the tub right now, but there's this really amazing three-part leak that's coming from up there.
Okay, well, tell him to stop leaking, and
I'm waiting for it to stop. You know, there's not a lot I can do. You
know? We got a lot of good suggestions for the show name, but one of the ones I liked the best, Patrick, was Sledgecast.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be great? It's a Sledgecast. We are going to unveil on the podcast this week our new name. I'm embarrassed to say that it was none of, as far as I can tell, well, there's two possibilities, but the one that I'm kind of in favor with, nobody submitted, probably because it's so boring. We got so many creative, clever submissions. You want to hear some of the names that people sent in?
Absolutely.
Al Hill said, Saved by the Geeks. That's kind of keeping the screensavers idea. In fact, a number of people did that. Claudio Flores said, WWSSD, what would the screensavers do?
No.
Yeah, we'll leave that one out. There was also a G4 Eats It's Young, but in deference to G4, we'll leave that one out. Are you now or have you ever been a G4 employee? No. How about this one? I think you'd like this one, Patrick. Those, by the way, were all from Shane. This is from Lance. Return of the Meat Popsicles.
Excellent.
Yeah. Green Megs of Ram. That was from Kevin Davis. I like that one. Kurt Golick said, Good Fellows, but I think maybe Geek Fellows might be good. Geek Fellows. What do you think? No?
That's pretty cool.
Kurt also suggested This Week in Geek, which is the closest to the one we're, I think, going to actually use. What do you think of This Week in Geek?
That's not bad at all.
We could call it Twig. Geek Week. Twig, yeah, T-W-I-G. I like the fact that it rhymes. How about Alex's My Big Fat Video Cast? My Big Fat Tiger
My video. Big Fat Geek Wedding.
Yeah, My Big Fat Geek Cast. Let's see. Attack of the Podcast. There's a number, a lot of them were plays on Attack of the Show, Kevin. Dave said, A Hack of the Show, which I kind of liked. Well, a 10-year-old named Sonia suggested Reunion of Tech Support Scholars. She wanted to keep the ROTSS acronym. Tech Support Scholars. John Wilson, Geek Weekly. The Pocket Protectors, Ray Bromley. That was a good one. Here's one from Dustin that incorporates all of our, you know, kind of reputations. It's the revenge of the dark tipping, sledgehammer swinging, PC modding, lab rat tech guys.
Excellent.
It's a little long.
Winner.
But I like it.
Hey, the domain name's available, I'm
it
sure.
Is. Yeah, I think we could register that. Yeah. Well, isn't there a domain name somebody registered that was like, because all the other good domain names were taken, something like that, .com? All the other good domain names were taken, .com? Joel suggested four guys and a box of crap.
Ouch.
Well, you weren't, Robert wasn't here last week. He doesn't know that that's the grand prize for this, is we're giving Patrick's going to donate a box of crap from his garage.
Excellent.
That's the grand
prize. This is incredible, vital, vintage computer technology.
Completely random.
Yes, and it will definitely be.
The mystery prize.
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I think we're going to go. Robert, you weren't in on this conversation because you were busy finding headsets, but I think we're going to go with the boring This Week in Tech, TWIT. And the only reason is I think the podcast has to say in its name what it is, because otherwise when people look at it in the directory, they'll have no clue. Is that so boring that we should just say no? Oh, thanks for backing me up, guys.
Well,
dead
silence. I think the Skype just faded out again.
Oh, it's a Skype
yeah,
problem.
Same here, Leo.
Yeah, right. You couldn't hear a word I was saying.
Sunspots. Right.
So I've registered twit.tv. We are all twits now. Twit.tv will be the domain. The email address will be thisweekintech@gmail.com. And nobody is a winner, but somebody will get a box of crap, as well as the four runners-up. We're all going to receive web hosting from VisaWeb and Jinx Hackware, thanks to our donations there. And that raises another issue, real quick, before we get to, because Patrick wants to do a look at WinHack, which is a big, the big Windows hardware conference that just ended. And I know you all have lots to talk about, and we have a lot to talk about on the show today. But real quickly, I just want to mention, we've decided not to take advertising, at least for the time being, on the show. I know that's kind of radical. We want to support the show, and there are costs associated with it, like registering 20 different domain names, which is what I did this week, trying to save all the ones that might be our winner. So we thought it would be better if we asked for your support, your donations. I want the podcast to be free and always free, and I think we all agree it's going to be that way. It'll never be a subscription podcast. However, we wouldn't mind if you subscribed as a way of donating. So what I've set up is three buttons on the podcast page and on the feed for your choice. Not required. Podcast is free, but if you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe for $2 a month. In a recurring subscription. Now, that's less than a latte a month, less than 50. It's 50 cents a show. We see less of it because, of course, PayPal takes its cut, I think 36 cents. But that I wanted to make it small so that everybody could participate. There were some people who said, well, no, we'd like to just do it once a year. So that's a $20 a year subscription. Again, that will recur. So you can cancel it at any time. But if you don't, you'll be billed again next year. We plan to keep doing this for many years. So. And also, by the way, if you're worried that we'll go away but the subscription won't, if for any reason we decide not to do the podcast anymore, I can, with one button, cancel all the subscriptions, and I will do that, of course. And then I also am going to leave a donation button for those of you who don't want to subscribe but would like to make a small donation. No donation too small or too large, I'd like to add.
You do such a good job at this, Leo. I'm about to sign up right now. I'm like, this sounds great.
I think $2. I mean, how much did you pay to subscribe to Tech TV?
How much did you pay for your last gallon of gas?
There you go. Oh, yeah, I paid $3 for the first time last week. I was stunned. But so $2, I think, is not an unreasonable amount. And what it will do is it'll help us make this a better podcast. It'll give us a reason to be here every week because we all need to make a living. And it'll also show your support for grassroots user broadcasting or on the net. And nobody really has made a success of this by donation. Everybody's trying to do advertising. My problem with advertising is I don't want to be anybody's pocket. I think it'd be nice if we could just do this without advertising. So we're going to try it. There you go. That's my pitch. By the way, Patrick, you should know that one of the first things we're going to do is buy you a Mac so we can do the video iChat.
Oh, no.
In fact, maybe we'll buy Kevin's iMac for you. Mini Mac. How much do you want for your mini, Kevin?
I don't know, $500.
You paid six?
Yeah, it paid $6 plus. It's got a gig of RAM, and it upgraded the RAM as well.
I think that would be good for Skype. And then, Patrick, do you have a regular PC keyboard? What am I asking
you? I think I can manage
a monitor lying around. Just take one out of that box of crap.
Yeah, I think no monitors in the box.
Because I really would like to try this. And do you have a DV camera, Patrick?
No.
Oh, we're going to have to buy him an iSight as well.
Oh, I can figure something out.
If you any FireWire camera will work on this. So with iChat AV. And Robert, do you have a Mac? I forgot. You don't have a Mac either.
No, I don't.
You know what we're going to have to do is...
I have video cameras and stuff.
But. Yeah. What we're going to have to do, I think, is maybe make... And I know there's some people who do this. A little package that we mail around to whoever's going to be on the show that week that comes with everything in it. And you just plug it in, and there you go. The camera and everything. Because Dvorak has told us he's going to join us. And I said, you have a Mac? And he said, no. Can you believe that? Doesn't even have a Mac. So... anyway, we'll figure this out, but I would like to try it with
but
video.
Dvorak's so soft and cuddly. I can't believe he's telling you the truth.
You probably didn't know I'd mention it. I did tell him that he should call in, and he could be on the show. And so he said he may stop by from time to time, so that would be nice. So, the big event of the week, WinHEC, the Windows Hardware, what is it, Education? Hardware. Now, I used to know that. Engineering, that's it. The Windows Hardware Engineering Conference was this week. Bill Gates revealed some details of Longhorn, and I know Patrick Extreme Tech sent some people up there.
Yeah, actually, Lloyd Case was up there, and I'm sure a couple of the other guys.
Lloyd's got the softest hair of anybody in showbiz, by the way. I just want to mention
that. I'm going to take your word for that. I myself have never touched
Lloyd's nice hair. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I have this vision of you petting his hair. Not that I haven't petted your hair.
You pet me all. Hair, you used to pet me all the time.
Well, because your hair is magnificent. It's like
everybody thought it was fake, Leo. That's why we all had to check to see if it was fake or not.
Was that why everybody was touching me? It was just to see if I was wearing a wig.
It could be a badger. It could be the man's hair. But if it's fake, it's glued on really, really well.
I don't think, you know, I don't have like Ted Koppel hair. I think my hair looks like real hair, doesn't it?
You have a magnificent pelt.
I paid a lot of money for this hair. So WinHEC, did they reveal anything about Longhorn that we didn't know already?
Not really. Actually, what's been interesting is between the 64-bit Windows and the release and the beta of Longhorn, I think those two completely overshadowed anything that was going on in terms of actual hardware engineering at WinHEC this year. Maybe some pretty interesting side stories. It's actually a good story in Extreme Tech. Samsung actually announced that they're going to be, middle of next year, they're going to be shipping hard drives that include flash memory to basically reduce battery life consumption on notebooks. So they're basically going to put a gigabyte of flash onto the notebook to help reduce battery consumption.
How will that work? Will it be like a cache or?
Essentially.
It'll be slow though.
Well, it depends on how they do it. If it depends on how they set it up, but yeah, that's a question. I think it should still be faster than rotating media for actually physically writing it to the drive.
Well, I know you can get, CF that's 40, what is it, 40X? It's maybe 80X. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fast now, I guess.
My USB 2 key that I have is faster than my notebook's hard drive.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, sustains read and writes above, about 12 to 14 megs a second, as well as about 2 gigs in size, too. So that just comes in handy.
Notebook hard drives are pig slow, Leo.
Well, I could see, for instance, if you're watching a DVD off the hard or a movie off the hard drive, if you could load it into the cache, the flash cache. Oh, I like that. Then you would save a lot of power.
Yeah, that's a big. I mean, it's still the biggest, by far, the biggest consumer of electricity or battery power, however you want to call it, on a notebook is still the screen by far.
And we can't fix that.
Well, not with existing technology. Be an interesting idea if you had a organic and OLED screen, whether or not that would help. But I don't think LCDs are going to lose their power consumption anytime soon.
What else happened?
The Longhorn beta was released and everybody made fun of it.
Avalon
Microsoft
looks pretty
said
cool.
That Apple. What's that?
Avalon looks pretty cool. That's the graphics layer that's going to replace DirectX.
Yeah. And other than that, they yanked a lot of the really interesting stuff that was supposed to go into Longhorn.
No WinFS, the file system. Mm-hmm. That's gone.
Well, they're going to release that afterwards.
Yeah, 2008 or something. What else did they yank out? I mean, it seems some people are starting to call it Service Pack 3.
That's probably a pretty good thing to call it because they've Avalon's still there. They've yanked out WinFS. Debates are raging as to how good the communications layer they've set up is going to be. You know, people are already making fun of the whole Windows 64 Longhorn split, which is another odd one.
Microsoft for years tried to narrow down into one operating system. Now they're going bifurcating again.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be 64-bit versions of Longhorn, though, right?
Correct. Yeah, no argument there. But I think part of what people are saying is you know, they've set themselves up for sort of yet another parallel set of operating systems.
Right.
Which, I mean, given the fact that, you know, the vast majority of the planet is running on 32-bit processors, makes a lot more sense right now. I gotta say, though, not a lot of, you know, I think, you know, some WinHex, it's just a lot of repeating what was going on in the years before. And that
WinHex is traditionally where Microsoft tells the hardware manufacturers, the Dells of the world, what they should be doing so that they can support the next generation of Windows.
Yeah, there's WinHec and IDF, and basically, at this point, it's I'm ashamed to admit I forgot which one was started in a hissy fit in a reaction to the other trying to control the platform.
The Intel Developers Forum versus the, you know, these guys, it's funny.
Intel Developer, there's no apostrophe there.
Developer, pardon me.
IDF, Developer IDF. Forum.
it's funny how much these guys are at each other's throats, given that they're the, quote, Wintel platform. So Bill did speak, and he said that that even though Longhorn will run on existing hardware, it won't run beautifully. If you really want Avalon and all this, you know, if you really want the animated icons, which I know I look forward to, and the transparency on the desktop, you're going to want a 3 gigahertz processor and a pretty hefty video card.
But at this point, you know, by the time it actually ships. You know, that 3 gigahertz processor should be well down into the $100 range.
So meanwhile, while Microsoft's talking about vaporware, Apple comes along on Friday with Tiger. Did you upgrade to Tiger, Kevin? You've been using it for a while.
Yeah, I've been using it for a little while, and I have to tell you, I'm getting more. I love it. I really do. I finally, for the longest time, you know, I watched OS X from a distance, and I thought, oh, that's cool. I like that, but I never really wanted to make the switch. And with some of the features like Spotlight and some of the other new things, it's making more and more sense.
You know, I'm going to be contrarian.
I really like it.
I'm going to be contrarian on this because I'm a little disappointed. Now, I agree that Tiger is well worth it, and it's a good upgrade. Under the hood, there's some amazing stuff, things like SQLite being built in so that developers have applications to kind of lightweight databasing, the kind of thing WinFS was supposed to do. But I'm disappointed. I thought Spotlight would be faster and easier to use. Their usability is bad on it. I'm used to something called Launch Bar. You press Command Space, just as you do in Spotlight. Type the first few letters of what you're looking for, just as you do in Spotlight, and then hit Enter. So I hit Enter, and Spotlight, instead of launching what it found, it launches itself. The thing it found should be at the top, so that hitting Return or Enter will launch it. And it's a lot slower. It takes a second or two, maybe even longer, to find the thing I'm looking for. I just don't
see. I have nothing. I don't have that whole history with the Apple products that you do or other applications to compare
it
to. For me,
X1 on Windows is so much faster.
Yeah, but I mean, for me right now, a good example is the other day I was trying to do a search for a file that was on my hard drive. I did a search with the little dog in the corner, and it took me like 10 minutes to go through all my data.
Right.
And this is a huge, improvement for me. Yes, much better. And it's amazing. You know, it's where Windows is definitely going to go.
Everybody is.
Everybody is. I like the fact that it searches all the metadata, so if you have certain type of images and things tagged with certain keywords, it'll pull that information up. I mean, it does your, like, everything from music to PDFs, calendar. It's pretty... You got to admit that it may be a little slow, but it's pretty amazing technology.
It's very slick. One of the things that is part of Spotlight, by the way, SQLite was also put in because of Spotlight. One of the things that's part of Spotlight is these smart folders, the ability to create a folder that collates information from across your desktop.
Those are really cool.
What I think we're seeing is a shift in the and a proper shift in the way we understand information on our computer. You know, the same thing happened on the internet. At first, on the web, people tried to categorize. In fact, Sarah probably would have something to say about this, Patrick, as a librarian. People try to categorize the internet as they did the library, like with the Dewey Decimal System, saying, well, there's 16 categories and 24 subcategories and 30. And it didn't work. You know, you couldn't fit everything into these boxes. And then along comes Google and says, well, there's no categories. Just type what you want. Tell me what you're looking for, and I'll find it for you. And that's exactly what's happening on the desktop. Instead of folders and folders within folders and hierarchy and organizing our mail using filters into different folders, forget it. Just dump everything in there, and a good search tool is going to find it wherever mm-hmm. it is. And smart folders will organize it post facto instead of having to do it ahead of time. I think that's the way it should be, right? There's no shelf.
Yeah. Processor.
Well, that's now we have the ability to do it. Of course, yeah. What else do you like about it, Kevin?
The conferencing with the iSight is pretty amazing. The fact that you can do three people now. The H.264 codec is just—it's amazing. I've been doing some comparisons for the different videos. I've been taking portions of our video that we've shot and recompress them with QuickTime 7 using the new H.264. And it's creating better quality videos at the same bit rates that I would typically have to bump up to get that type of quality. So,
how big are your file sizes? What are we talking about?
Well, we're still talking for about 15 to 20 minutes of video. We're still talking about somewhere in the range of 150 to 200 megabytes in size. So it's not like the file sizes are that much smaller. It's just the improved quality at lower bit rates.
Right.
Is really what I'm seeing. And I mean, I'm doing it side by side, same bit rate with DivX, and you'll just see so much better, crisper quality images and not so much artifacting with the H.264.
That's exciting. And it's a standard, unlike DivX, which is proprietary. So QuickTime 7, is it available on Windows yet? Or
I don't believe so. I don't think there's a download for it yet, but they say it's coming soon.
That will be what you'll need to do this on Windows as well. Have you seen the trailers? They have four trailers on the Mac, on the Apple site in high def.
In HD, yeah. It's pretty amazing.
I just downloaded the 1080p Serenity trailer. It's a two-minute trailer, 138 megs. And by the way, it doesn't play back on my 1.6 gigahertz laptop. You got to have dual 2 gigahertz to play this thing back, but man, does it look good.
Yeah, it's
pretty strong compression going on right there.
Robert,
the decryption.
Do you think that that's the future of is that where video is going? Is it going to, instead of MPEG-4, we're going to see
H.264? Well, I mean, the H.264 is MPEG-4. It's the
what,
thing
what's
a lot
the
of people,
difference? I don't understand.
There really isn't. You have advanced video coding, AVC. You have H.264, and you basically have MPEG-4, which is the umbrella term for all of them.
So it's a subset or a superset of MPEG-4, or?
MPEG-4 is, you know, the standard that was agreed upon by the motion picture experts group, and 264 is really speaking directly toward the video side of things.
Got it. One of the nice things about it is it's scalable. You tell it the bit rate, and it does the best job it can given that bit rate.
So that's hopefully that, and the just support for greater resolutions and things like that, especially when we're talking about if you're pulling down 20 megabit streams of HD content, you'd like to make them more portable. Well, it's looking to be just one terrific format for that.
1080p, guys. 1080p. It takes a hell of a machine to play it, but boy, does it look good.
Yeah, the Extreme DVD, Terminator 2, actually includes the Windows Media 9 HD version. That's in 1080p as well.
Now, that's what the extreme, what they call extreme Windows.
It's like the extreme DVD version of Terminator 2.
How does that compare?
That was the first one I saw.
Is it the same as H.264? Is it Microsoft's own thing? What is the deal there?
It's their own flavor. It's essentially they are using a next-gen codec, very similar to what MPEG-4 is doing, but it's Microsoft's proprietary, their own software, basically, for the encoding.
So that's.
But now they have real-time hardware encoders. That was the cool thing I saw at the cable show here in San Francisco about 2 weeks ago, was the fact that they now have 1U rack-mountable either H.264, Windows Media 9, real-time encoders, or, you know, MPEG-2, and you can deliver. So I think the cable companies themselves it'll make their transition not only to digital, but just to maintaining backward compatibility with people who don't have HDTV yet for the new customers who go out and buy the latest and greatest, they're going to be able to deliver the good content. And I'm hoping to see formats like 1080p just become a default for a lot of content, and then you can scale it down from there if you need to.
Now, no TV or very few TVs out there are going to support it, right? I mean, 1080p.
Oh, most any flat panel LCD that's greater than, say, about 40 inches is usually 1080p.
P.
As in 1920 by 1080.
Okay. And that's because it's resolution. An LCD.
Yeah, it just they tend to have, you know, higher resolution. For plasmas, you don't see 1080p until you hit about 71 inches, which that's still in the...
That's the 40 grand version.
Yeah, 40, 50, 60 on up. And, but I'll Robert, tell you, it's just, it's beautiful. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, what have you seen outside of the DVDs? I mean, most of the stuff that I get broadcast to my house is either 720p or 1080i. Are we going to see, you know, broadcasts start coming out in 1080p?
I highly doubt you're going to see the broadcasters touch it for a while just because of the additional costs involved of supporting yet another format. And right now, it was hard enough just getting people to wrap their heads around, you know, what is high definition. And then you see a lot of movie transfers being done at even greater resolutions. So if I have a display that's capable of it, I would hope that in the specs coming up for the new DVD formats, the high definition DVD and Blu-ray, I'm hoping it'd be really simple just to create a 1080p format for you if you have the hardware to do it.
By the way, Kevin mentioned that was one of the things you wanted to talk about. Finally, we're going to see maybe an HD DVD format that is compatible with both HD DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Did you hear that, Robert? About Sony and Toshiba are supposed to be teaming up to unify the new format.
When I was talking with Pioneer, basically, it's going to become just like the format war was with the DVD right now, where you have plus and dash formats. They're basically going to make pickups, laser pickups, that'll support all formats, and they just don't care. They just want to build devices. So
hey,
if
guys,
there's going to be two, three, four formats, so be it.
Hold on just a second, because it looks like we've got a special guest stopping by. Let me answer the phone and see if we can get him into the Skype conference here. He's calling me from his fortress of solitude high atop the Berkeley Hills. Ladies and gentlemen, John C. Dvorak.
Yay!
Hey, well, we don't need hecklers.
We got as much rejoicing.
We got them. Kevin Rose, Patrick Norton, Robert Herron, all with us. John is... I told John he could be the Bob Hope of the show. Anytime he wanted to stop by with his golf club, he's welcome.
Absolutely. The question is, you know, this thing is... My Skype is... ASP cuts it off.
Oh, well, yeah. One thing you got to do is turn everything off on the damn computer. You're cutting off a little bit, actually, as you talk.
No, well.
That's, now, John, you wrote three columns that we want to talk about today. One saying podcasting is no big deal. One saying Skype is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And the most recent one saying there hasn't been anything new in gaming since first-person shooters were invented. Do you want to pick one of those to address?
Wow, that's pretty good. You're actually reading these once in a while.
You know why I read them? People send me irate mail thinking I have some sort of conduit to you saying, can you tell Dvorak he's full of shit?
Yeah, they do that all the time. They send that to my wife, too. You know, and I'm so hard to get a hold of. I've only had the same email address for the past decade.
So Robert is a gamer. Robert, you want to ask any questions of Mr. Dvorak here?
I thought some of the points were valid. It was just when it comes to what everyone harps on in the gaming world, like a new title like Half-Life 2. I honestly didn't see Half-Life 2 as really pushing anything.
There's a lot of sequels, but that's true in movies. It's true in books. I mean, John, you've written a few sequels to your books.
Never. No, I don't believe in them.
Really? Is that true?
No, I think everything should be original, one shot only.
Wait a minute.
You've never been a fan of recycling. Sorry, go ahead.
You never did a second edition of any of your books?
Well, yeah, but that was...
Oh, yeah, we lost him.
Uh-oh.
I was too hard on him already. He's Can you hear us, John? Oh, man. Okay, now, everybody, when John comes back, let's be real nice to him, okay? Try again.
Actually, I think his gaming article, the one big thing is he bagged on Starship Troopers, which it's one of those favorite camp movies of mine. That would be about the only thing.
It was a terrible movie, but it was a good movie. It was a good movie. We were just talking
about the first hour of it's pretty hard to watch for a lot of people.
Yeah, we were talking about how you didn't like Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah, no, Starship Troopers. In fact, it was on again on HD the other night. It's almost impossible to watch it. I'll tell you a couple of problems I've had, because I've had fans call or write me saying, oh.
Oh, this isn't going to work. I'm bummed out. Do you think it's me, guys, or do you think it's him?
No, it's because you're dissing Starship Troopers.
Their troopers are getting I wonder what's going on. I think it's him. We got to get him to set up his system so it works. This is ironic because the one thing that he liked in those three articles was Skype. And it's the one thing that's not working for us right now.
It's got to be on his end because it's the three of us.
We've been fine. And
Robert, were you hit with that DNS outage?
No.
Through Comcast? Oh, I got hit a couple weeks ago. We were down for 2 days because I had a DNS outage at Comcast.
See, my big gripe was when I was calling them to get my new service set up here in Northern California is that their advertising from an internet company was mixing up the term bit and byte left and right. And throughout this entire ad, they played over and over. They kept saying,
that.
We're giving you 4 megabytes per second. And I'm like, geez. You are. That's cool.
I'll take it.
I was like, oh, their entire print campaign and ad campaign was based around they couldn't get the B's right. And I was just like, oh, please, people.
Oh, you can hear me, John. Oh, that's weird. You know what, John? You could just type, and I'll read your answers into the podcast. I think it's Windows. Well, anyway. We were talking before we tried to get this working. If John, I'll tell you what. Hang in there. Maybe you can get it working and show up. Otherwise, he says the settings shut themselves off, so maybe it's something weird going on with Skype. You might want to try rebooting. Dvorak says, rebooting? Ha! You know, I still have my Dvorak in a can recordings that we used on the radio show. I could probably just fill those in, you know. I have about 10 quotes from John. I just play them randomly.
Hey, we'll get a good soundboard program made up. So sit there.
Nice.
John C. DeVore.
What?
Soundboard.
What?
That's a good idea.
I bet you it's out there.
That's a great idea. Let's see if we can find that.
There probably is one.
I bet there is one. John would know.
Huh? All right. All I can think of is, do you have Dvorak in a can? How does
he let him out. We have some questions for you guys, if you'd like to answer them from our listeners. This is something we'd like to start doing. Get a little more interactivity into the show. If you'd like to send us a question, instead of trying to get you through on Skype, you can see we're having a trouble. John says, do you think I'm spidering around 5 sites right now? Do you think that's an issue? Yes. Don't do anything else. You're killing your bandwidth. What was I saying? Oh, if you want to ask a question, the best way to do it, we might take live calls if we can figure out how to get Skype to work reliably with a lot of different people. But in the interim, email us. thisweekintech@gmail.com, but we won't take printed questions. You have to record your question. Make it 30 seconds or less. Use a microphone that works. Record your question, and we'll play them back on the show, and our panel of experts will answer them. You ready, guys, for our first question of the day?
Hi, guys. Mike B. from the KFI chat room. I'd like to know what you guys think has been the greatest technology failures within the last 5 or 10 years. Thanks.
We need Dvorak for that one. Everything's a failure from Dvorak's point of view.
5 or 10 years.
There have been so many.
The original DivX.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad idea.
Yes.
That was the ones where...
I bought a unit. I actually bought one of the players. Yeah, no. I thought it was cool at the time. Yes, it was. It was kind of cool for a few weeks there.
I'm going to be able to buy Disney flicks in the 7-Eleven and watch them for 24 hours.
So you'd buy the movie, and you had to have a special DivX player. And then you'd pay, it was connected to the phone line, right? And you'd give them a credit card, and they'd unlock the DVD for a limited time.
No. Well, the second you put it in, you could watch it for like 48 hours or whatever
it was. Oh, okay.
And after that, you would have to re-rent it, or you could buy it, unlock it for forever.
Oh, jeez.
So, but it was kind of cool, because you would pick up a disc for, you know, $4, and then you would take it home. You'd never have to worry about returning it to, you know, Blockbuster or wherever it may be, because there's no late fees. You play it, you watch it, and if you ever want to watch it again, you either play a couple more bucks or you unlock it.
Well, here's the follow-up to that. I get questions periodically with people who have an entire library of DivX discs and wondering how can they play it, because it won't play anymore because there's no service to connect to. You know how to hack them?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't think about that. So that's why they're out of business right now.
Do you have any of those discs?
I don't recall the. Was the technology around for that long?
No, it was
only
for a week.
6 months or.
That's what I thought. It was.
It was terrible. You know,
that's the problem with being an early adopter is like you get screwed sometimes like that, and I definitely did.
Disney, for some reason, seems to be at the forefront of these bad ideas. They also created a disc that rotted away. Do you remember that?
It was I don't think they ever released it.
Oh, maybe they never did it. The idea was you'd buy this at a 7-Eleven, same thing. You'd open it was in a special sealed package.
Vacuum sealed, right?
It was vacuum sealed because as soon as it hit the air, it would start to oxidize, and you'd have 48 hours, and after that, it was worthless. What a terrible idea.
So could you use like one of those wine savers where you squirt the inner gas into the wine and
trying to preserve your rotting disc.
Oh, awesome. What a pain.
Disney has also tried. I mean, Disney, you know, we've come up with enough failures just from Disney alone. Disney has also tried in Florida. It's a kind of a TiVo box that they put on your TV, and it has movies inside. And in order to play the movies, you pay a fee, and they're on the hard drive already. And then it's always connected and downloading new movies all the time. So it has like, 100 movies in there.
Has that actually been a failure?
Well,
I thought that was actually working.
Is it? Well, where is it? Maybe it is working. Is it around? I haven't seen it. It was.
We looked at that one technology where you had the box, set-top box that used over the air through local broadcasters, and it would constantly cache for you, and then they were delivering movies right into the box for you. But it was in very good quality. I just can't remember off the top of my head if it went anywhere. My TiVo is my favorite technology.
TiVo's a winner. Although, ironically, the company's a loser, right? I mean, how long is TiVo going to be around?
Totally. Well, they did make the deal with Comcast recently, so that will at least give them a little lifeblood.
They'll be eaten like a fish. You're potted up, John. You can say anything you want, but we just can't hear you. John says, can you hear me? Because I know John's just, this is torture for John. For us to be talking about this
totally
stuff, and John can't get a word in. Go ahead. Try talking, John. We're listening.
The one thing I wanted to say was that, the original laser discs were all designed to rot, or at least it turned out that way.
I still have them. I play them.
No, the first ones, the early ones, the ones that came out like, in the late 70s.
Yeah.
Most of them are rotten.
Really?
The big giant ones?
Really?
Yeah. Called laser rot. That's where the term came from.
There's an example of a technology. It wasn't a bad technology, but didn't survive. I mean, I have.
Well, actually, don't forget the RCA Select Division if you're going to go into that stuff.
What was that?
That was a physical disc that played videos.
How did that work?
It was pretty.
Was it like a
record? Well, yeah, exactly. It was in a cartridge. A lot of people have them. George Morrow used to have a huge collection of these things. You slipped this disc into the player, and it just spun at real high speeds, and it had a little needle that rode in the groove. It was unbelievable.
Well, that's the classic interim technology where they've got phonographs, and they say, well, there's got to be a way to make it do video. But it was only one brief fling. I don't remember that. I must have missed it.
Oh, there was advertised on TV. You just missed it somehow. I don't know how you could have possibly missed it. I think you'd be right on it. You're like an early adopter.
I still have my laser discs. I have a whole collection. I watched A Hard Day's Night. There's a problem with the laser disc. And this is a question for all of you guys. Is it a digital or an analog format?
It's an analog format.
It's analog.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah. It only has analog out. How does it work, John? I mean, it's not pits.
It was essentially the same as the signal that comes over the air for your analog TV.
Oh, are you talking about laser discs?
They encoded the RF signal. Wow. Well, whatever it was, it doesn't look that great. I have to say, it's a little noisy. Yeah. The audio might be better. So I've heard people say the audio is better because it was uncompressed audio.
I don't know how you can beat the audio on today's.
That's
HDTV.
You got to have some pretty good ears to hear the difference on that.
You ready for another question, guys?
Sure.
Another question for the twits.
I'm really glad to see that you guys have been reunited here on the podcast, and certainly appreciate the fact that you're taking questions from the listeners. Mine deals with the new Tiger OS X operating system for the Mac. In the past, when Microsoft would come out with a new operating system, it would be painfully obvious that my old existing PC hardware would never be strong enough to take advantage of all the bells and whistles in the new operating systems. I'm thinking about buying a Mac Mini, and I'd like to know whether or not it would be a good good companion with Tiger and whether it has enough horsepower to take full advantage to all the enhancements that Tiger has to offer, and if I'd get a good user experience out of those two items being put together in one package. Thank you for all that you've done in the past. Look forward to many, many great podcasts in the future. Thanks so much, and you have a great day.
That was
That was a good question.
That was Wayne in Akron, by the way, who is a longtime fan. Go ahead, Patrick. You got your hand in the air.
Well, the biggest problem with a Mac Mini or any other of the low-cost Apple systems is that they just don't put enough memory in them from the factory. 256 megabytes of RAM, it'll run, kind of. But upping that to 512 megabytes, or better yet, a gigabyte, is going to be a huge performance equivalent.
To answer his question, though, I mean, everything else runs just fine. I can launch, iMovie HD, GarageBand, you name it. Everything comes up with enough speed to where I'm happy with the performance at 1.42 gigahertz. So,
how about
is that? What processor is the Mini using though?
It's a G4. It's a 1.42.
Okay. So you should be fine. Though.
I don't notice a lot of difference between a G4 and a G5, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Mac, the OS 10.10.4, the Tiger requirements are a PowerPC G3 or better processor. And 256 megabytes of RAM. I think the biggest thing is getting more RAM in there, especially if you have a G3 or a slower G4 processor.
But I want to invite you all over to my house to watch the Serenity trailer at 1080p on a cinema display on a dual.
I can't. Oops, sorry.
Duel the G4, G5, because it looks good.
What I want is I want a ticket to see the Serenity preview that's May 5th. Those sold out in like 8 minutes.
They're showing a pre-release, right? Because it's not out for the fall.
Not final, but it's coming out. The movie comes out September 30th. They're showing a pre-release on the 5th, and Universal didn't expect a lot of people to be interested in it, and the Serenity fan boards the brown coats managed to get the thing sold out in a matter of minutes.
What's the deal?
Ten cities.
Why is Serenity? What is the deal? I mean, is this hype?
Do you remember Firefly? The series from Joss Whedon, the guy that created Buffy and Angel?
I don't remember Firefly. Of course, enough Buffy and Angel. Yeah.
Firefly, after Buffy and Angel, or concurrently, or it's hard to tell because Joss Whedon is working on so many projects, and I should openly admit that I am a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. So,
who'd have thunk it, ladies and gentlemen? Boy, is that a revelation.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Well, like,
are you through? Well, it was funny. I saw the premiere of Firefly. I was right about the time when I first started watching Buffy, and it was just, it didn't enjoy it. It was like this really overprocessed Civil War Western space sci-fi thing, and I was like, ugh. And it turns out that Fox basically changed, because the way Whedon set stuff up is he has character development, and he has all these interlocking threads, and they kind of, over the course of a season, they come to a pretty heavy climax. And Fox decided they didn't like pilot, the opener, the show opener that he put together to start the season, and gave him like 3 days to cut something else. So, and then they showed, instead of showing the episodes in order, they showed them out of order. They didn't show the premiere, which sets up the pilot, which sets up a huge amount of backstory. So they basically started with episode 2, jumped around in different episodes, which means the character development makes no sense, and a lot of the actions of the characters make no sense. And then they killed it after 11 episodes. And recently they released the DVD recently, and it's like, I saw the pilot episode, I was amazed at how much more sense the second episode, which is the one they actually showed first on
television. So this movie is Firefly made for the movies, or is it something
completely different? This is Firefly made for the movies. Serenity is the name of the ship.
Yeah, because I'm trying to understand, on this trailer it says the must-see movie of the year, or, the best movie, top 10 movie of the year. How would they know that? The movie's not even out. We're looking at a trailer for something that won't be out until September. So they're talking about
Firefly. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is a top 10 must see movie of the year, but just because it's got Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, anyway, it makes a great trailer, and it's certainly a good way to show off your HD. John C. Dvorak says he's lighting himself on fire right now, so maybe we should move on to a
self-immolation, man.
Another topic. Unless, of course, we could get the Skype to work and we could listen to that, in which case it might be worth pursuing. suing. But you want another question from a listener here, or anything else you want, guys want to mention about Serenity? I guess going once. Going...
yes. Anything in high definition is great.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Anybody other than me see Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Oh, did you see it?
I saw it.
Okay, got to give you reviews.
It was great. I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
You're kidding. Everybody I talked to said it was awful.
Okay, you know good. I'm glad to hear somebody liked it.
I think it's a lot like The Lord of the Rings, where if you want a strict reinterpretation of the text you have read 733 times since you were 6 years old and first found the book, you're going to be like, you know, they forgot that part
right.
with the glass in the bar.
Yeah.
You know, they just forgot that part, you know. And it's I mean, Kevin, you know, let me know if you agree with this or not, but I think it really captured the spirit of the book.
Well, you know, like I read the book like you did, and I think it was just great. But there was a lot of people that walked out of the theater a little confused because they didn't read the book. I don't think they quite understood what was going on, or it took them a while to kind of understand what was going on.
Most of the critics said that there was no humor. It wasn't funny in the book. I laughed my ass off.
All right.
So did I. I thought it was good.
I wish we could get John on because of all of us, John really has the most to say. He interviewed Douglas Adams many times. In fact, as I remember, talked to Douglas Adams just shortly before his death for Tech TV. I'm a big fan from the original Hitchhikers, which was a radio show. Mm-hmm. It was made into a book later and a cheesy TV series, which was the ultimate in cheese. But I've been reluctant to see the movie. I'm thinking I don't want my memory spoiled. So you say it's worth it.
Definitely.
I don't think anything's going to spoil the book, Leo.
No, I can't.
I mean, it even breaks through. I mean, the New York Times hugely I'm up on my favorite movie review site, which is RottenTomatoes.com.
Oh, I love it.
It just coagulates all the different ones. Yeah, it's kind of funny to read the snippets in here. Studiously harmless, Disney's long and development film rendition pasteurizes the book's renegade verb with typical means, special effects, and gooey romance.
I'm going to save John's comments in this log here and put this in as part of the... This is the funniest thing. You guys are missing the fun here. He says, do watch the TV show on DVD. He says, very good. And he's asking maybe a little editorial input there on the word coagulates, okay? Just thought I'd throw that in. Let me get another question in for the twits here.
Hey, Leo, Patrick, Kevin, Robert Herring, Yoshi, whoever's there. My question basically is, Kevin Rose, you have a Mac Mini. Did you ever do any kind of like video editing? I know it's kind of, you know, only a 1.something gigahertz processor, but I mean, how is it with Tiger on it and iLifo 5? I mean, how does it hold up? Is it worth it? Was it worth me going for Mac?
All these guys are asking Mac questions. What's the deal here? I guess it is Tiger Week, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, as far as video editing is concerned, I really wouldn't recommend going with the Mini just because the hard drive is only a 5400 RPM hard drive. You're going to have a little bit of some issues if you're capturing all that from your DV cam.
Can you get an external FireWire?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You could go FireWire, you could go USB 2, but I don't know. I mean, for me personally, we do a lot of heavy, we treat our video quite a bit with different plugins. And so with the G4 processor at 1.42, it's probably not going to work out for us as far as what we do with it. If you're just looking to do little home movies with iMovie, maybe you'll probably be fine. But if you're looking to do something with a little more production value where you're actually going to have to sit there and render out frames, you'll probably want to beef it up a little bit and go with at least a low-end G5.
I think it's more of a, are you an iMovie editor or are you a Final Cut Pro editor?
I'd say screw it. Get the 2.7 gigahertz dual G5. You'll be happy. Life will be rich and full for you.
My editor Keith in the background is yelling at me not to recommend it. He's a Premiere Pro type of guy, so just stick with the PC and
Windows and
get Premiere Pro.
Well, I have to say that
Premiere Pro is just like an editing system, only harder.
I like it. Premiere Pro is nice.
I have to say, you know, that is one area the PC has a huge advantage is the variety and power of the video cards available, and that can make a big difference in rendering and 3D graphics and things like that as well. So,
For rendering though, for video rendering itself, that's usually a CPU intensive task.
Yeah, okay. That's not, you're not going to benefit on the card there.
But I think if you're a light editor, it's going to, I mean, because, you know, there's a bunch of people on this podcast right now that did a bunch of editing on G3s with iMovie, and it didn't kill us.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're always going to want more power, but there's no reason you couldn't use it for that.
Dvorak says Premiere Pro sucks and the caller sounds like a mass murderer.
I agree with that one.
that's Mab631. If you'd like to ask a question, it's not a call. It's a recorded question. We don't take emails either. You've got to record your question and email it along to us at thisweekintech@gmail.com. And we'll feature maybe your question on the air. Anything else on your minds these days, guys? I thought one of the funniest stories of the week was Steve Jobs banning all John Wiley and Sons books from the Apple stores. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was interesting. Did anybody get a copy of that?
Well, the new book isn't out until June 30th. I haven't seen the galleys of it. Maybe Dvorak has. It's Jeffrey Young, who's already written a biography of Jobs.
About Jobs' second act.
It's the second act, and if you look at the subtitle, it says, "The greatest second act in the history of business." Can't be much of a slam of Steve Jobs. I don't know what Jobs is so angry about. But that's pretty high-handed to say, well, just because of that, not only are we not going to sell the biography, that I can understand, we're not going to sell any books from that publisher. That includes books from David Pogue, from Andy Inatko, from Bob Levitis. I mean, these are some of the superstars in the Mac book world. All the Dummies books, OS X for Dummies, gone.
I thought all Pogue's missing manual books were O'Reilly.
Yeah, they are. They're a different publisher, but he's written, apparently, I'm reading the article here. I that's what I thought, too, but apparently he has written. You know, Pogue will write for anybody, so.
Pogue also can write more than any other human being I've ever met.
Pogue is scary. Pogue is scary,
yeah.
I have to say.
But in a cool, I want to be like him when I grow up way.
Now, again, I wish John could be here because he says he has it on good authority that Jobs was not behind the decision and that the book is not, you know, much worse than the first book by Jeffrey Young. So I still don't understand the decision. If Jobs wasn't behind, how could Jobs not be behind it? Jobs is behind everything.
Ask Dvorak, was it a toady was it a Jobs toady that shut it down?
I don't understand. I mean, doesn't Steve sign off on every single thing that happens at Apple? Of course he does. Of course he does. And do you think anybody would dare do anything without Steve saying yes, especially something that draws this much bad attention? Frankly, if you want to sell a book, this is the best way to do it. Make it be banned. Make it be so bad that Jobs pulled all of the publisher's books from the bookstore. Don't you think everybody in the world's going to read this book now? Jeffrey Young has to be jumping up and down. Dvorak says it was a toady. So this is strange having John be you know what it feels like? It feels like John died and I'm channeling him.
you need a text to voice translator so you can just
body of John.
That's great.
I will channel him. It's just bizarre. I can't tell you, folks. I mean, I've worked with John for years. I'm looking at his picture, this smiling picture with a goofy hat on, and he's typing at me, and I feel like he's cocking at me from beyond the grave. It's scary. All right.
I was just going to tell you about a random site I just came across. You guys got to check out when you get a chance.
Yeah.
It's called boxedthoughts.com. And it basically allows you to put in like what's going through your head in a little tiny box, like a little 100 pixel by 100 pixel box. And then you can only post like every 4 hours, so you can see people's different thoughts. And it's all anonymous.
That's
so you see what people are talking about.
Barry's Go Mega?
Oh, wow.
That was me. Yeah, that was me.
Barry's Go Mega.
Isn't that cool?
It's rich in Omega.
It's a pretty cool little site.
All right, let me do something here. So how do you do it? You just click...
So you have to sign up with a profile, then it creates an anonymous user. These are all anonymous thoughts. Like people are talking about how they want to break up with their girlfriends, but they can't tell her. And like there's all these crazy thoughts floating around. It's
so
fun.
You're 012853. See, now
we know.
You're
not supposed to know that. It's supposed to be anonymous.
Why is telling her so hard? And you get to pick the color too?
Hey, I didn't write that one.
Jesus,
yeah, you get
alive
to pick the different colors.
Did I ever tell you how much I hated you? Oh, this is cool. This is like that confession thing that.
Right.
Yeah, I like this.
It's fun.
Remember there was the old internet confession booth, that was very cool. Oh, good.
I'm partial to the churchsigngenerator.com.
Oh, I like that. That's a good. You know what's cool about this? It's been out 2 days. Kevin, this is your site.
No, I'm not. I saw it on Dig. That's why.
This is only been out for, this is the second day.
That just goes to show you how quick stuff gets.
Oh, I see. I've never heard of Dig.com, but welcome Dig users. Good. I'll stick this part in the middle. This is good.
Dig is yours, isn't it?
Yeah, Dig's mine.
Yeah, yeah. He's the.
I surf that every day.
Isn't that great?
I like that service.
Brilliant.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Good. Well, watch this. We're gonna send this guy through the roof. That's our site of the week, boxedthoughts.com.
That's awesome.
Let's see if we can bring the server down. He's going to hate us. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this is going to conclude this edition of... do we really want to call it This Week in Tech? That is so boring.
Do you want to extend the naming contest for another week?
Maybe. Now, what about This Week in Geek? The problem is I need to have... you're piggybacking on my TLR feed, and I need to have... It needs to have its own feed, I think. This thing was huge. Beyond belief. I can't tell you how the servers were slammed. Just the torrent tracker I was running was slammed, let alone the downloads. I'm not downloading them directly. We're using Coral, the Coral Content Distribution Network, and BitTorrent, because otherwise it would be terabytes.
That's a really good response.
So John has a couple of suggestions. He says the Tech Tits and Ass Show... That'd be TTAS.
You know that Tech Tits and Ass and Celebrities.
Tech,
I remember celebrities
tech
are
TNA.
Good for ratings.
That's not bad. And he says the Nude Tech Guru. You know, he's obviously been listening to Dawn and Drew. This is a podcast with a couple who live in a farmhouse somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And I swear the reason it's one of the most popular podcasts is because they pretend. I don't think they're doing it. They pretend they're naked when they're doing it. And she played a Jew's harp with her private parts the other day.
That's so much more information than I need, Leo.
Would you like to volunteer?
Is this
for
something
that?
You subscribe to, Leo?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's strangely compelling.
You know, I've listened to a couple Dawn and Drew shows. I've never once caught on to the idea that they're supposed to be naked.
Well, maybe it was just the one I listened to. I think, but it's a sexy kind of no holds barred show, right? Okay, so I guess we're gonna. I don't know. We're going to call it TWIT. We're going to call it This Week in Tech just because we have to have a name, but that's not really the name. That is just the name that we give out on the directories. Okay? And we'll come up with a better name someday. All right. What about Geek Week, Doc? Do you like Geek Week, This Week in Geek?
That's not bad.
Geek Week. The nude.
Sounds catchy.
Geek Week.
For sure.
Geek Week. Well, if we did that, we'd have to award a prize because we... That was suggested by, looking for his name. Somebody suggested.
You win a box of crap.
Kirk Gulick. Kirk Gulick, come on down for your box of crap. See, now Dvorak says he likes twits, so there I go. I don't know.
See, the acronym of that is great.
Twits?
I like that.
Twits?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Twig is This Week in Geek. Oh, I don't know. Well, I think Twitch
is good. I
was
thinking Mr. Twig.
Mr. Twig?
Right. South Park.
Gentlemen, I'm sure you have other things to do in your life. This has been a two-hour edition. I'm going to be editing it down a little bit. But I thank you for your time. And again, we want to encourage those of you who enjoy the podcast to subscribe, keep it on the air. Your $2 a month helps us do this fine programming. I'm starting to sound like a pledge break.
It sounds like you're sponsoring
every
a child
pledge
or something
of over
$2,
you'll get a fine mint.
Well, and that's the other thing.
We'll write personal letters to the people that
no,
subscribe.
We won't.
And
you will, maybe. No, we have 200 subscriptions, and I'm thrilled. I thank each and every one of you. We are saving your email addresses as you subscribe. So at some point, we could do a special event. I'm thinking a meetup. Maybe we'll start doing some giveaways to people who subscribe. I think we could do that. We can arrange for some nice prizes.
We need to do a meetup. That would be a lot
meetup
of fun.
Meetup would be fun. Find out who these people really are, huh? We'll figure it out. But there will be additional benefits. But the main benefit is the good feeling to know that you're supporting this kind of unadvertised programming. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you'd like to take money from us. There's no button on the page for that. The email address, thisweekingeek@gmail.com. The webpage is not yet up, but at some point it will be twit.tv. But meanwhile, you can subscribe to the podcast at all the usual places. Hey, guys, thanks a lot.
You guys still there?
Going out with it.
Just cut in and out there.
Well, somebody sent me a fake screensavers theme. Where did I put it? And he thought maybe we would like to use this as a theme for the show. It's kind of sounds like the screensavers, but here, let me play it for you. It's pretty funny. All right, guys, I have a lot of editing to do.
Yes.
To beep or not to beep.
Fuckers. All right. Anyway, let's all meet again here, same time next week.
You got it.
Thanks. See you guys.
Take care, guys.
Well, that does it for this edition of This Week in Tech. I'm Leo Laporte. The email address, thisweekintech@gmail.com. Go to leoville.com/blog for donations. We'll get our website up in the next couple of days, and that'll be twit.tv, TWIT.tv. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.